All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue to look at the concept of wisdom as sponsored by Bible Doctrine. Wisdom is taking the absorbed knowledge with spiritual understanding and applying it adeptly to given circumstances, situations, and people. As we've seen, it is evidenced by our applications of doctrine. It provides for us, under the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, the ability to provide a proper witness in any given situation, to defend the faith, if you will, in that respect. God, the Holy Spirit, is essential in terms of applying wisdom in regards to life, and it is not under the sin nature that this wisdom is produced and promoted, but under the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, under the gap system. In point 57 here, where we left off, respect for and fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Again, you've got to do word studies and to understand how words are used in regard to Scripture. Not all words are technical. That is, like some people read the Bible, and every time they see the word saved, all they know and all they can think of is saved from hell. Whereas sozo in the Greek can be applied in regards to salvation from eternal condemnation, being saved from immediate danger, circumstances, situations of life, being delivered from loss of reward, abatement. So you got to understand and do the proper word studies as part of the hermeneutics or science and art of interpretation in this respect. And fear, we see some words in certain contexts are righteous and they're right before God, whereas in other contexts they are unrighteous or sinful. Fear is one of those things. On one hand, we're told not to fear anything in life, even imminent death, as it may be before us. Anxiousness, worry, all these things are parts of fear. These are sin nature activities, and when one gets under fear, one should obviously rebound and recognize it and trust and faith God. I believe, put your faith in God, faith rests, in order to handle the situation. But we are told to fear God, to give God his due respect, if you will, to recognize it's a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of Almighty God. On one hand, we have this affordability and the pleasure of a personal relationship with him in time as a creator of the universe. But understand, he's a creator of the universe. The power, the omnipotence, and the whole essence of God in and of itself is really almost beyond our scope of imagination. The most powerful things in the world, be a hydrogen bomb or whatever, that men can come up with, don't hold a candle in regards to the power of God. So to fear God is to understand and know God and recognize that he is our creator, and to desire to have a relationship with him. And to fear God is, if you will, a tantamount to going on positive volition, to seek God, to know him and understand him and his plan for one's life. Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs showing the wisdom that Solomon possessed as he wrote Proverbs. The fear of the Lord, verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge here equating with the second clause, fools or idiots despise wisdom and instruction. the ignorant, calloused disregard of humanity. They despise wisdom, true biblical wisdom that comes from the truth of doctrine. They despise instruction to come under the regimen and humility of a communicator to reprove, rebuke, correct, as doctrine does in regard to all of us. The communicator is not free of this. And they hate and they despise being told by God what they can do and what they can't do. Even though, no matter what regime they may be operating in, even under the regime of Satan, they're going to fall under the same requirements in regards to life. Just like we mentioned this morning, they'll force you to recognize the homosexual agenda with your children in California, or you lose your children, possibly. So you're restrained. We're all under instruction. We're all under restriction. We're enslaved in our lives one way or the other. We're either enslaved to Bible doctrine, God Himself, or we're enslaved to our sin nature and the spirit of Satan in the world, human viewpoint, and things of this nature. And Jesus Christ says and teaches that maximum freedom can be only recognized through the truth. Know the truth, and it'll set you free. Free from the confines, restrictions, destructive nature of the sin nature overall. Not that we won't get our paddlings in time, so to speak, under divine discipline and things of that nature. But overall, we won't at least face the sin and the death when we exit this world. Compare Psalm 111:10. Go back a book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There, wisdom is placed as the originating factor. To fear God, to be positive, to humble oneself before God. See, a good understanding have all those who do His commandments, or do them. There, while one may absorb the information in Bible class, only through application does one really gain the real understanding and truth of doctrine in its design, intent, and purpose. See, a good understanding have all those who do it, do application, do His commandments, the instructions, the do's and don'ts. For the church, we refer to these as the royal imperatives. As part of this dispensation is a special privilege. And that is that we are considered royalty in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The church is called His bride. See, Peter says we are a royal priesthood. Whereas the Levites made up the priesthood in the age of Israel, we're all individual priests. And we're royalty whether we act like it or not. His praise endures forever. His praise endures forever. That obviously is manifested through those who truly fear God and perform wisdom in regards to their lives, as they will manifest that through their very being and appearance in their eternal life niche. Proverbs 9:10, back to Proverbs. So wisdom was shown there as these coincide. Obviously, wisdom and knowledge coincide with one another. They're in harmony with one another. Proverbs 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So there you kind of see the almost the order, the sense of order between wisdom and knowledge and understanding as it's been revealed here in our verse. knowledge brings about understanding, spiritual understanding, which in turn effectuates wisdom in regards to our life. And to fear God, knowing His absolute righteousness and justice as it applies to us. You may not find anybody else in this world that's completely and totally impartial, but God is. The only thing He's partial to is His Son and the truth of Bible doctrine. You line up and get in the marching orders, attain to the marching orders that He sets forth, and be on His side, or you can be on the rest of the world's side, the majority of the world's side. And let's see who wins. There is a conflict. It's still ongoing, and it will come to resolution, and there will be an ultimate winner. So respect for and fear God is the beginning of wisdom. Point 58, that it is, quote here, all wisdom, pos, or adjective pos, end quotes, assumes the entire counsel of Bible doctrine in its pursuit, just as true knowledge insinuated that, implied that. Here, all wisdom is more specific, more obvious, that is the entire council of doctrine and must come into play to know the proper application in thinking, etc., to circumstances, situations, and people. And that Paul, that's one of the things in the book of Acts, that he regarded his faithfulness in as being a communicator of doctrine, being an apostle, that for those who were put under his charge, that he did not cheat anybody. He didn't disregard doctrine, dismiss any doctrine, because maybe it might offend somebody. Oh, help me. Or it may go against Paul. Paul, you see his intellectual honesty. Yeah, I've been an idiot. I have the thorn in the flesh. Why is that? Because I'm so damn arrogant sometimes under my sin nature. You know, paraphrasing, obviously. But this is the essence and the spiritual reality of the doctrine. See, and he said, in spite of that, he taught the entire council. Verse 27 in his farewell message here, as it might be titled, to the pastor teachers in Ephesus, the elders of the church here. The morphology of presbyteros in the Greek, you see a transformation of his intent, of main meaning, as it goes into scriptures from the older writings, where elder might just refer to a chief or somebody of important position in a village, to then being that term being borrowed by the church to refer to those with time and grade in regards to being a believer, etc. At one time include all those who have positions of authority within church, to the latest writings being transfigured into simply referring to the pastor teachers. And he says, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel, literally, of God, pas eboule in the Greek, P-A-S B-O-U-L-E, whole council, entire council. To when you look at things, it's not just a knee-jerk reaction. You try to take the time and consider all the doctrinal impact that may be associated with the situation and the insight that you have in regards to these things. So it's all wisdom. Again, not just how to love Jesus when you feel like it. To put the fundies in their proper perspective. That's what fundies do. They love Jesus when they feel like it. They love Jesus on their terms and conditions. 59, now the noun understanding that noun in quotes here. Sunesis in the Greek. Make a correction here. Amen. At least I have one copy correct. The noun understanding, sunesis, literally means bring together or union. It's a compound noun. To bring together or union. Sixthly, that it is spiritual in nature. It's understanding spiritually, literally in the Greek. That it is spiritual in nature, ties together the comprehension of Bible doctrine with the soul and human spirit. Our body is tangible, it's physical. The soul, the human spirit, are spiritual in nature. They're invisible, intangible, but yet they're real. They exist. Our soul is what gives our body life. In the animal world, their life source is in their blood, in their circulatory system. Our life source is in the spiritual system of the soul being interfaced with our body, which the soul is placed into the newborn infant's body at the point of birth. When that baby takes that first breath, God has, and He's still creating, guess what? He's still creating. He has a created soul, and He plugs it into that infant. And even if they live just for a few minutes, they are alive. Before that, they're simply a living organism. They're not truly, if you will, a life form as designed by God. God created man. He created the body first. And then he plugged in the Neshama, the breath of lives, in the plural, in regards to Adam and Eve. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. So, here, understanding is designed to impact directly our soul via our human spirit, if you will. And obviously, it ties in God, the Holy Spirit, and all that. Sixty-one. The Word of God pierces even to the dividing parts of soul and spirit, recognizing that our soul can choose to be disobedient to God, engage in sin, be out of fellowship, neutralize our human spirit by being out of fellowship, or be positive, or be obedient and choose to apply doctrine. But it divides both soul and spirit in the verse that we quote before every Bible class in our call to worship. The importance of doctrine and the importance of Bible doctrine. The Word of God, New American Standard, living and active. We translate it alive and powerful. The Greek word there, energes, means able to cause to happen, hence powerful. He has the ability, the capability. For the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The two-edged sword reflects upon the Roman Machaira, a short sword used by the Roman military. And you can slice going backwards and forwards or up and down, or you can stab. One of the preferred weapons of the Roman soldier, and piercing, continuing on as far as the division dividing the soul and spirit, to reflect upon making choices not in line with doctrine, or making choices in line with doctrine, and hence complementing our human spirit, or else temporarily neutralizing it for while you're out of fellowship, and the decision is to go with the sin nature. See, to go with the STA, and able to critique or judge the thoughts. Oh, and then of both joints and marrow. That looks at the body itself, and that is a reflection upon the whole impact of Bible doctrine, not only on an individual basis, but on a corporate basis in terms of the function of the spiritual gifts among one another, in our service to one another. And obviously, there may be individual application that comes from that. So joints and marrow, spiritual gifts, and the life of those gifts as it pertains to keeping the body healthy and going, etc. And every spiritual gift is essential. I mean, yeah, the pastor, teacher, that gift may be the head of the church, but the rest of the body, the helps, the mercy, the giving, and all these other gifts, they're just as essential. They make up the arms and legs and the torso and all these other things. See, a head without a body is a comedy routine done by the Wayans brothers. See, if you ever watch that, where he's a police officer, and one guy, the police officer, has a big head and got shoes underneath his head. It is funny stuff, man. I thought they were one of the funniest shows that was on TV for a while. But anyway. And then obviously a body without a head. Well, what's that? Well, that's a headless horseman or whatever, running around, can't think, doesn't know where it's going, blind, you know, and all this other stuff. So you have all these metaphors that are used, analogies. And both joints and marrow, and to finish up here, and to critique, to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God knows our very intentions. And we thank God for that. Because obviously we're constantly battling our sin nature. And it's not that necessarily that we want our life to go a certain ways under our sin nature. That we capitulate, we're weak in the flesh. Sometimes we do want to. And he recognizes that too. Our very thinking. While nobody else may know what you're thinking, God always knows what you're thinking. See, negative volition doesn't like that. That's why negative volition doesn't care for the gift of prophecy. Because the prophets often would just tell people just how screwed up spiritually they were. But for those who are positive, they saw it and recognized it, and it appealed to their intellectual honesty, and like the woman at the well. In Christ, oh, you've been married like five times, man. So that brought out positive volition. To others, it may just further ingrain their negative volition. And cause more callous over their souls. That's what happened to the Pharaoh of the Exodus. He would, every time Moses would perform a miracle with God's power, the Pharaoh of the Exodus would reject that, and his heart became more and more calloused. So, you know, all these things apply. So, understanding is a union. Doctrine, which is spiritual information with our spiritual essence, our soul, and our human spirit. And it critiques us with a fine-tooth comb, impartially, without reservation. 62, to synesis, to understand, is to unite soul and spirit with positive volition and Bible doctrine, recognizing the two entities, soul and spirit, for what they are and represent in regards to our persons. Our soul is where our volition is housed. The human spirit is what we refer to in Bible in prep school as doctrine man. It's set apart in righteousness, created in righteousness, set apart for the truth. See. So you're on Pauline's volition, you gap the truth of doctrine and fellowship, and that all that you think and do in that regards is registered in regards to your human spirit. And it's part of the human spirit makeup with your positive soul. So that word is quite phenomenal in all that it communicates. Synesis. The uniting of soul and spirit with positive volition and Bible doctrine. That's some cool stuff. Blows me away. 63, to finish this off here, maybe today, it's possible. It could happen. Further observations on spiritual understanding, continue with that, include, as I've mentioned and we've seen already, it is closely linked with wisdom. Proverbs 7:4. Understanding and wisdom. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. Call understanding your intimate friend, the closest of friends, the doctrine itself. And wisdom is the relative relationship that you have with it. See? A very close relationship, as one might protect their sibling in that respect, want to protect them. 8:1. Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? Wisdom here is exalted and personified as a woman, metaphorically, in regards to a lot of what Solomon writes here in Proverbs is presented in such fashion. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, power is mine. Power, the truth of doctrine, comes from doctrine itself. The effective nature of this application is found in sound application, sound wisdom. And this is a counsel from God, not from the spirit of the world. 14:33, Proverbs, where you would expect the concepts of wisdom and understanding to be found throughout. Wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding. It is sitting there ready, if you will, relaxed. Wisdom is relaxed because it rests upon the doctrine in your soul, and when the time comes, that doctrine is going to provide for you the effective application you need, the right application. But in the bosom of fools it is made known. In 17:24, wisdom is the presence of the one who has understanding. Wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding. But the eyes of the idiot are on the ends of the earth. What can I get out of the world? He who has the most toys wins. You know, the whole cosmic mentality. We should petition for it ourselves, just as we do with doctrine. Psalm again, 119. The longest psalm in the book of Psalms, 176 verses there. Psalm 119:34, give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. purpose for imparting understanding is on behalf of positive volition. So that they desire to observe it, to apply it, to recognize and align with it. Verse 73, your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. You got to know the rules of life if you want to engage in it appropriately in action with honor. Verse 125, I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. This is why you pray to God for Bible doctrine. For these reasons, see, to what you witness, God in His omniscience obviously witnesses everything, and He gives us insight in regards to that. Verse 144: Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Bible doctrine is what enhances and provides life. The SCA, all it does is bring about death. That's all it's good for. Destruction and death. See. Bible doctrine provides true life. In verse 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Understanding according to your word. Not the field of science, not the field of philosophy, but according to the truth of doctrine. And that is how we learn to evaluate and observe all things in life. See, it is commanded. It's not something that is only if you want it type of scenario. It's not simply an alternative. We are to aggressively pursue this. Proverbs 2:2. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. As Solomon exhorts his son in terms of positive volition. Again, wisdom personified as a woman. Incline your heart to understanding. Incline your heart to understanding. It's not something that you just lay back and it happens. It takes effort. You got to incline yourself. It takes effort to come to Bible class. For if you cry for discernment, verse 3, lift your voice for understanding. You look at God, help me out here in this regard. Then in correlation with that, your desire and your appeal to God at the throne of grace is, give me the doctrine. I need to know the doctrine here, God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. It comes from God. And then chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Verse 5. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. From the authority of the father here, the communicator of doctrine, to his sons, his children. The relationship of endearment between a shepherd and sheep. The whole scenario is presented here, painted. Verse 7, the son always knows better than the father, right? What happened to that show, Father Knows Best? But it went down the tubes. verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is... Go on. Acquire wisdom. You got to get Bible doctrine. You got to get the Bible doctrine. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Now that you've heard it, then you got to have the spiritual insight that goes with it. And that is, you got to show up for sound doctrine being taught. Then you got to get in fellowship. You got to have the scriptures before you and follow along in regards to the teaching, etc., etc. How does it apply to me, you see? Then chapter 23, verse 23. So the command is to get it, acquire it. buy truth and do not sell it.
What?
Buy it and do not sell it. That's like the message given to the church of Laodicea, lukewarm condition, that they're in need of pure gold. And it says, buy pure gold. Well, doctrine is free. And we're not of the many, like the many who merchandise the Word of God. It shows, put in the same energy that you do in regards to the other aspects of your life, of acquiring the details of life and things of this nature. And then be free and liberal in regards to sharing it in regards to others. That's obviously your witness, your application of doctrine in life and things of this nature. Give wisdom and instruction and understanding. So truth, wisdom, instruction, understanding, all comprise that verse. D, it is a source of life and blessing to those who gain it. Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is a man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. To be blessed by God. Understand, the world blesses itself, its own. As Jesus said, the world takes care of its own. And how many Christians are deluded in regards to the world prospering them, and they say, no, it's God prospering me. See? Obviously, God's behind all of it. We recognize that. But the difference of orientation versus misorientation in regards to life and what's going on around you. Doctrine gives you that balance. It gives you that clarity of looking at things. Proverbs 16:22. Understanding is the fountain of life to him who has it. But the discipline of idiots is folly. They will find that their whole endeavors and pursuits of life is nothing but spinning their wheels. It's wasteful. See, running under their sin nature, running under their human viewpoint. It does nothing to ingratiate themselves to God. And then 19:8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. You have an appreciation for the most valuable thing that you possess, basically as a human being, your soul, because it has an eternal destiny, one way or the other. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good, will find the blessings of God in terms of divine good and blessings that come from God in time as well as eternity. It is preferred over wealth. You don't say. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Pursuits in life. We call this your MPR, your most pressing responsibility. It's not chasing the almighty buck. There's nothing wrong in and of itself in regards to making money and even becoming wealthy if God blesses one in so doing. Solomon was extremely wealthy. But on the end of the coin, his priority was Bible doctrine. And God blessed him in such fashion physically. Otherwise, with phase two blessing. We are to maintain our priority recognizing that Christ became poor so that we through him might become rich. See, as we quote, exhort before the application of giving is offered. F, Jesus excelled in it. Luke 2:47. Obviously, in his humanity, his deity is self explanatory. It's assumed his humanity. Excelled in understanding. Luke 2:47. Let's see what This is Christ in his teaching, as he was in the midst of obviously the religious hierarchy, etc., and the Jews around him in this respect, in his teaching. He's very young. He's 12 years old here in this context. I've had people ask the question, well, did Jesus have to believe in himself to be saved? Idiot, he believed in himself anyway. 12 years old, and he's blowing the minds of all the religious and the theological gurus otherwise, as they claim themselves. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. To be an adolescent, human adolescent of that age. Obviously, Jesus did not have a sin nature. But that was provided for him because it was essential in order to give him at least a running opportunity to remain sinless throughout his life. Because if he had a sin nature, born in the world of sin nature like we are, he would have been spiritually dead, born into the world. And hence you have the miraculous birth substituting his parental father, who is a transmitter of the sin nature. The mother is simply a carrier, even though both possess the sin nature. Because guess what? It does take one of each sex to make a baby. Jiminy Christmas. G, it provides discernment, to be discerning around in your applications and thinking. Proverbs 28:11. But the rich man is wise in his own eyes. They think because they have access to physical things and what they want in the world, the power of money in that regards, hence they know it all. See. But the poor who has understanding sees through him. Sees the hypocrisy, the self-righteousness that many who wear this wealth appear. 1 Peter 3:7. Discernment with doctrine. You see through the facade that people put on. First Peter 3:7, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. Since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. So in an understanding way, the husband, right man, right woman, while you're in authority over in the house, in authority over the wife, you are to do it with discernment, and that's with doctrine. And honor her as a fellow heir of the grace of life. She has just as much of an opportunity to gain the prize to be a wreath wearer as any male does, the wife does, as her husband. And there is another purpose behind why one should orient, and that is so that your prayers may not be hindered. You want to be abusive? You want to be a jackass as a husband to your wife? Well, don't expect your prayers to fall on ready ears to answer them before God. A should discern between negative volition and positive volition. People make their claims. Jesus constantly was discerning between negative and positive volition in his ministry. Pointing out the negative volition of the religious leaders. Don't say to me, you have Abraham as your father. God can create kids out of these rocks. A big deal. You know, paraphrasing again. Proverbs 18:2. We're given the insight and the light of doctrine to recognize positive volition. And obviously, we can't say that we know the hearts of people. and who ultimately might be positive or negative. But we can tell you at that point in time the evidence that they are showing whether they're positive or negative. Obviously, if they're not coming to the light, then until they start doing so, reality of time at that point in time, they're still not on positive volition, even though they may be at the point of seeking otherwise. Proverbs 18:2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Gets a phone call. Oh, Pastor, I got this figured out in regards to this person. This people that hadn't even been in class for 2, 3, 4, or 5 years. Well, good for you. Take it to the Bema and tell Jesus. You're not my pastor. I don't need to hear this. Negative volition. They're self-indulged. They can figure it out on their own, you know. 1 Peter 3, Proverbs 19:25, excuse me. Next chapter. That's negative volition, positive volition, 19:25. Strike a scoffer and the naive may become shrewd, the ones who are ignorant. And they will learn to avoid the rod of doctrine from your mouth, you know, in that regards. But reprove one who is understanding, and he will gain knowledge. Positive volition, those who are positive to doctrine. And you bring out the doctrine, and they go against their sacred cow or whatever. And they go, oh, okay, well, that thing was erroneous. So this is the correct biblical thinking. And they gain understanding, spiritual understanding. It characterizes certain behavior. Proverbs 17:27 and 28. He who restrains his words has knowledge. That is, bridle your tongue. See, restrain your words. You don't have to always give your 2 cents worth. Learn to bridle your tongue. To think with the sophistication of intellectualism in your speaking, rather than just blurting things out. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Whatever. Cool spirit. Sorry. That's the 70s show. That's cool. Whatever. Cool spirit. That's why you don't let people vibrate you because of their antagonism to doctrine or you. See. And verse 28, even the fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. The old adage, keep your mouth shut, let people think you're wise rather than open it and remove all doubt. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. J, the Lord continually supplies it. 2 Timothy 2:7. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything, Timothy. Do your due diligence in the studies of the Scripture, function of your spiritual gift, and God will give you the insight. He'll give you the understanding. And all this, and in your role as a communicator, pastor, etc. K, it is evidenced again in application, as wisdom is obvious, is also evidenced in application. Psalm 1, 11, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, good understanding. Have all those who do His commandments, His praise endure forever. We read that one earlier. Then finally, here at L, the spiritually understanding believer hangs with like-minded believers. That's who they choose to have their closest associations in regards to life, is like-minded, positive believers themselves. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. That's where they will turn to. They'll turn to others who they know have a doctrine in their soul. To bounce things off, have companionship with. and to look for answers in regards to life rather than running off to people out in the cosmos. Oh, what am I going to do about this? Oh, what does the doctrine say? They hadn't even considered that. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things in Jesus' name, amen.